Support for WVIK comes from Kathleen Collins at the Dragonfly in Bettendorf, using both conventional and alternative counseling methods for empowerment to help create change for individuals and couples. More information is at KathleenCollinsCounseling.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Heartland Politics Show and podcast, which is aired on and distributed by WVIK Quad Cities NPR. WVIK is the flagship public radio station in the Quad Cities region of northwestern Illinois and eastern Iowa. This is your host, Robin Johnson, and today I'm very pleased to have as my guest one of the candidates for the Illinois State Senate District in the 36th District, which includes the Quad City area. It's a highly competitive race. This gentleman is known to a lot of folks throughout the region. He's currently the mayor of Rock Island. He was first elected in 2017 and was reelected just last year. He's got a long and distinguished business career as well. He's Mike Tomes. And Mr. Mayor, thank you for taking the time to be on today.
No problem. Thank you for having me.
Well, I like to ask my guests running for office right off the bat, why are they running? What compelled you to seek this race for the state Senate?
You know, as sitting as mayor and seeing some of the things that have happened in the state that affect the cities was very frustrating. And so I felt that I needed to maybe step in and see if I could make a difference on some of those, whether they be unfunded mandates, whether they be how the pensions are funded, unemployment things are funded, business laws that are being put in place or lack of. So there's just a number of things that we found or I have found when I'm trying to help with economic development in the city of Rock Island that were roadblocks. And as sometimes they say, you know, you can sit in the background and talk about it, or you can be in the front and do something. So here I am.
I formerly served as a city official, as listeners know, so I'm partial to city officials because you get a lot of stuff dumped on you. One of the learning experiences was sometimes how little control you have when the state comes in and says, you got to build a new water plant. And by the way, we're not helping you out with any of the funding. What do you look back on in your tenure, 5 years or so? What are the most significant accomplishments you had that you'd like to share with listeners that help make your case for running for the state Senate?
You know, most of them have been economic development driven. Not all of them, but most of them have been. And here just recently, we've got five projects going on right now, good sized projects with cranes going throughout the city. And we've had a number of them throughout the year. Whether you talk about McLaughlin Body, whether you talk about Green Thumb Incorporated, the marijuana growing, whether you talk about Aga Solutions, we can go on with several others. And so we've struggled at trying to get these businesses to show up here or grow, but we've had some successes. And I feel good about that, even to the point of we're now seeing some of the fruits of them. Last year, we had actually $1.7 million in new revenue above and beyond what we planned on without raising any taxes. And that's what it's about, is bringing new economic, bringing new jobs, and bring those revenue helping pay the increase in expenses that the city would have and not putting that burden on the existing people. So that's, I feel, is probably my biggest accomplishment. Now, and I say I mean, obviously I've worked very hard with the economic development staff of the city and the council, but it's a group effort. We all know that. There's no one single eyes out there, but I have had a heavy hand in it.
That kind of leads to an interesting question. I'm always curious about people with a business background. You have a long and successful business career, and when you're a business person, you make decisions and you move forward. And when you're mayor, you're in executive role as well. This will be a little different if you're elected in a legislative body where you're working together. How does that, will that affect your approach at all going from executive positions in your past to more legislative type position?
You know, you would think it would, but no, because even in the leadership role, it takes a team and you need to bring that along with you. You need to get to consensus. You need to ask opinions of people. And even when you're in leadership, that's an important part of it. You need to listen. And so that's what this role would be the same way. You need to listen to the constituents, and that's the number one. But then you also need to listen and work with your fellow legislators in making those things reality. So even though you're in a different type of leadership role, we ran our business that same way. We had our employees involved in the business. It wasn't just the management managing the business. It was from the janitor on up that we would get opinions and thoughts from. So this is really overall no different. You've got to get people involved, understanding the facts and understanding what their needs are.
Mayor Tomes, as you know, the whole region's been struggling with population loss, and we're right next to another state. There's a lot of counties in this state that border other states, and the state is overall, while I think we gained a little population, it's not much compared to other states. What do you point as the reasons for that population loss, and what do you think the state needs to do to kind of reverse that, especially in these areas close to other states that it seems like it's just easy to move across the border?
You know, there's a number of different areas that I think have been a cause of it. And number one, just even conversations of a progressive tax, even just conversations of taxing pensions gets people real nervous and either don't want to locate here or they leave because they're not sure when or if it'll ever happen. And so that's one of the topics. Taxes. We keep on increasing taxes and fees on things. Whether it be property taxes, whether it be sales tax, whether it be license plate fees, and that starts driving people away. As we all know, the number one thing in Illinois and in the Quad Cities compared to Iowa side is property taxes. People talk about it all the time. And we need to work on controlling those. And one way is to, back to what like I talked about, is increasing and helping with the economic development. But the other way is to also work on balancing the funding that comes from the state throughout the state. You know, the schools are 50 or 50 plus percent of our tax bills. And we need to make sure we take care of the schools, but we're not getting balanced, fair funding from the state. A majority of the funding is going to Chicagoland area, and it should be coming downstate, forcing the schools to raise their property taxes over the years. It's not just this last year, it's over the years, to make up for that shortfall. And that's one of the things that's chasing people out or not allowing them to or wanting to come here. So population loss and different things. Corporations, you see like Boeing leaving and Caterpillar and the number one hedge fund leaving. And once again, it's those conversations they're saying, we don't know where that future is going. And if the way they're talking is the way it's going to go, we don't like that. And so we're going to go to a more business-friendly state. And they talk about, once again, business-friendly versus middle class and working for all the people. Well, who employs those people? Okay. And so you need those type of businesses here to have employment for the middle class or the ones that aren't quite making a good wage. But there's also a lot of startup businesses and entrepreneurs out there. They've got some nice, good business, but they're just not, they're not real big. And we start taxing them more. We start making a lot of red tape for them. So we're actually chasing the middle class out of pursuing their dreams of running a business. And so by being business friendly, keeps and helps the middle class in the community. And so, and then of course you get more rooftops, you get more businesses, you get more rooftops, you get more retail, and it's a domino effect that way. If you worry and you're thinking about just the people, not businesses, you spiral the opposite way.
What do you think about the manufacturing industry? You know, the Quad Cities, as you know, has a strong manufacturing heritage, John Deere, so many other businesses there. But manufacturing has declined as a percentage of jobs over the years. Do you still think there's a role for strong manufacturing in the economy and what it may, you might have already answered part of this on what we need to do to get our house in order in Illinois to attract more manufacturers?
There is room for more manufacturers. We've known for a number of years, and we've seen these manufacturing companies and just warehouses and other businesses, but even just manufacturers come to the Quad Cities looking with their site selectors and everything else. And we haven't had the ability in the state of Illinois to give them the things that they're looking for. One of those is a quick turnaround time for either picking a building or picking a site. And what I guess I relate to there is certified sites. We do not have any standards in the state of Illinois of what a certified site is. And a certified site is, what's the electricity look like? What's the soil conditions look like? Is there water available? How soon can you get it there? Is the right size? Number of those things you need to have in place before they even show up, because when the site selectors come on, or the manufacturers, they're looking for that information and they want it today because they want to make a decision tomorrow and literally within 6 months or so be it operational. And the state of Illinois just doesn't think that through that process to help attract them. And so they go to the surrounding states that have it. And we can see that here locally. If you look at the Sterilite, you look at the Kraft Heinz, you look at the Fair Foods and those type of places, the Amazon, that was a certified site. Now, it was certified for a number of years, and so it didn't happen overnight. But because they had it, they saw economic development.
I was curious in reading about your background that when you started in business as a young man, you started at the bottom and right at the bottom and worked your way up. And it leads me to ask you about apprenticeships in Illinois. It seems like we hear about this all the time, but nothing's ever done. And I bring this up to all my guests. You know, Germany, as you know, has that apprenticeship system in their public schools where you break off in the middle mm-hmm. of school and either pursue a university college track or a trade or a skill. What do you think about that? Or what ideas do you have for bringing more apprenticeships to Illinois?
I think we should incentivize businesses for doing that and having that, but also put it in the school systems. You know, back when I was going to school, you had, you know, wood shop and you had economic and learning how to cook and type and whatever it is. And they lost that, but they had mechanics. Schools, I know in East Molina, Rocky had it, and we lost those for the most part. And we need to circle back around and incentivize and work with the schools to develop those. Now, today, it may be a different industry that we're doing it with. It may be welding instead, or it may be nursing, or, you know, but where some of the shortages are. So pick a different trade, but we need to be teaching that in the high schools. Not everybody wants or needs or can go to college. And it's great if they can, and those opportunities are there. But a lot of them cannot, and we need to make sure that they have an avenue so they're productive in society like anybody else, and you can make a great wage. My grandson is a welder, and he went to a school to become a welder out of high school and everything else. Loves it, making a good money and everything else, and that's wonderful. And those things should be out there. I've toured and worked with the carpenters unions and looked at their building a new training center in East Moline. Operation engineers, I toured their training facility up toward Chicago. Wonderful outfits. Plumbers and pipe fitters have the training and everything else there in Rock Island. And I think we should continue to encourage that so we have quality workers out there doing these jobs and finding a way to make a great living. So I highly encourage this type of a process. But even that, it could be training on to the job. Once again, you talk about internships. And you never know where it takes somebody. I don't want to belabor it, but I worked on and actually helped found a organization called Youth Build. And we took kids that were at Thurgood Marshall that were struggling in school, and they got on the afternoons to come work on a house alongside a professional carpenter and help renovate a home. And actually they were learning, not knowing they were learning. They were having to measure and use fractions and everything else. And one gal became the first union plasterer in the Quad Cities. So she found that to be a niche of hers. She liked it, pursued it, and she got that seed from this Youth Build group. And so those are the type of things we need to continue to work with and foster.
You know, that's great you bring that up, because I'm old enough too. I remember shop class. And some of the students I teach now struggle with basic life skills, like balancing a checkbook that used to be taught. And now they don't. And I think that all goes back to the lack of preparation a lot of people have for being in the workforce. So I think that's
exactly right. And you might have to update it. We didn't have debit cards back then, you know. Yeah. So you update those things. But it still is very important for people to understand and learn the, quote, debits and credits and ins and outs. And we pick that as one of the things. But even typing on a computer. We did a typewriter, but now it's computers. And you know, those things are important today. In almost any job you go apply for.
Yeah, I remember the typewriters. Boy, correcting term papers was not easy to do. You're listening to Heartland Politics on WVIK Public Radio in the Quad Cities. This is Robin Johnson, your host, and my guest today is the mayor of Rock Island, Mike Tomes, who's a candidate for the 36th State Senate District in Illinois. That election's coming up in November, and I hope everybody's paying attention and getting ready to go vote. We've been talking with Mayor Tomes a little bit about his career as mayor of Rock Island and some of his accomplishments. We've talked a little bit about jobs, economic development, sharing some of his thoughts as a former business leader on how to get the economy going in the region. My next question, and we've been talking reminiscing a little nostalgia, yeah. But updating it to the situation now. I'm curious your thoughts on our education system, public schools. Do you think they're doing a good enough job of preparing people not only go to college, but for our workforce today? And if not, what do we need to do to kind of encourage better schools in Illinois?
You know, there's several different ways. And I want to say, no, we're not preparing them. I also want to emphasize it's not the teachers' fault. So it's not, I don't want to blame the training and the teachers and what's going on there. It is the environment they're in and part of the cases. 30-plus kids in a room, I've heard seeing 35-year-olds, is very, very difficult to teach in. You have one disruptive child or whatever, and it disrupts everybody. And so we need to work on smaller classroom sizes, number one. We also need to work on getting a way to get the teachers to have the respect, that the students should be giving the respect to the teachers and everything else. I do have a concern that, once again, everybody has their rights, but a child acting up, speaking up, and not being polite, and a teacher not being able to do anything about it, I think is a problem. I think it just sets it, not just in there, but in life in general with bosses, et cetera, that there is the hierarchy, and you do need to respect the people that are around. And we've lost some of that. Once again, I'm going to go back to the funding. You know, there's a large percentage of funding, you know, in the 70% type deal, of the school funding stays in Chicago when there's only 30 some odd percent of the students there. And so that, I don't think that that's balanced correctly. So I need to work on that. The facilities, the school facilities, we've got to make sure we make those current with times. We're just now getting, I know in the Rock Island Milan School District, getting to the point of having secure buildings for safety wise and making sure they have the basic things of, good roof over their head, so to speak. So I think that that's we need to make sure that that's taken care of. And there's different ways to do that, whether it be through state funding, whether it be through a sales tax. But there's different ways that could be accomplished. But we need to improve it. I think we are falling behind. We also go back to the basics. I think, once again, we get sometimes off on these tangents of what we want to teach and everything else. And you go back to reading and math and science, and like we just talked about. So many people are getting, or so many kids are just getting transferred up to the next grade just because that's what the system does. And if you really tested them and worked with it, maybe they should be held back. We shouldn't be passing them on. We need to more work with them more. So I think that that's a problem. Standardized testing. I struggle with standardized testing. If you take a look at our scores, we make it mandatory they test every child, no matter their disabilities, no matter their language barriers or anything else. And we don't give them the tools with their language. If they speak Swahili and that sort of thing, they have to do it in English. And if they just came to this country and haven't learned it all, they fail those tests. And so our scores look terrible. And those kids are working hard and trying. They're not dumb kids. But we're not taking that into account. And the surrounding states and schools do take that into exception. And so when you go to the computer and you look at the scores, we look terrible. And so I think that's another reform that we need. And teachers. Once again, I go to quick licensing. We make it too difficult for someone moving. Their spouse is coming to the Quad Cities and Rock Island and the Illinois Quad Cities. They want to teach and they're coming from Indiana or wherever it is. They got to jump through a lot of hoops, pay money to get a certificate to teach. And we should really work harder at the reciprocal of those to make it easier for them to have jobs here. There's a teacher shortage and we should be helping with that.
One of the biggest issues in this race right now is the issue of crime. Crime went up a lot during the pandemic. There were nationwide, it's obviously a nationwide issue, big cities, but also smaller communities. And you bring kind of a unique perspective as a mayor. And again, as I'm a former city official as well, where, you know, local government's where the rubber hits the road. You can't shift the services off to somebody else like the state likes to do. But from your perspective, this legislation that was passed, the Safety Act, is that going to be harmful, as a lot of critics charge, or is it going to be a useful addition to crime fighting efforts?
It is going to be harmful. The way it is right now today, it's going to be harmful. You know, you got to play the numbers and look at the statistics, and there are a lot of repeat offenders out there. And when you start doing the no cash bail and putting those individuals back on the street too soon, it makes it a dangerous place to live. You know, the police officers and the judges don't put them and arrest them and book them just because they think that they're bad. They just go that, you know, we're not sure, but, you know, they got to have a lot of evidence and everything else. In most cases, they're found to be a problem. And so we do need to keep the violent ones in jail longer and not back on the street within, quote, 24 hours. You think about it, if somebody, their abused spouse or whatever it is, and you put them back on the street, they may be take it too far the next time. And you can't protect everybody that way. So we do need to either get rid of it, or we need to reform and amend that bill in a fashion that we are not putting criminals back out on the street. We got to make sure we give the victims more rights than the criminals have. You know, you talk about even in trespassing. No longer can you be arrested for trespassing. You can be ticketed. And the only time you can be arrested is if they show any kind of aggression. But if they sit there and go to your garage, camp out with a cot or lay sleeping on the floor, don't show any aggression, they can ticket them, the police, but can't remove them. And guess what? Now with squatters' rights, you have to go through eviction process to get to have them removed. And that's just not right to have your property invaded that way. And so those are several things that are causing problems, going to be causing a lot more problems. You take a look at Chicago, where he's had this for a while, and the crime rate's been increasing. So let's learn from that. It's also making it very difficult to retain, let alone hire, new police officers. The surrounding states, once again, are seeing are the beneficiaries of this, and we're losing out. Almost every city in the state of Illinois is short police officers. You know, I just up in Chicago, and they're down like 1,300 officers. City of Rock Island's down 8 or 9. And we used to get 200 applicants. Now we get 20. And so it's making it very difficult. So this bill is going to be causing problems if it's not corrected.
Mayor, you're seeking to join a body where two of the members are under ethical clouds right now. The mayor or the governor of the state has called, who's the same party as the two individuals, has called for them to resign their offices. It seems like, again, we have legislators constantly in ethical or even criminal concerns. The former speaker is under indictment. What more do we need to do? What do you think, to strengthen laws to stop this? I mean, this hurts the state's image as much as anything.
It certainly does, because, you know, people joke on how many governors we've had in prison or legislators and everything else, and get to the point of more than any other state. And so it is giving us a bad reputation, and we need to change those dramatically. They were made some changes to them the last year or so here, but nothing were even close to where it should be. You know, there shouldn't be these slush funds. Believe it or not, you know, there's slush funds out there to pay off people if somebody is abusing, bullying a staff member and brings those charges forth, there's a slush fund to pay them off. And it was just recently used. And there's over $1 million in the slush fund to be able to use to pay off people that have been wronged by legislators. And we've seen that just recently with a couple of them. And so those type of ethics we need to change. We need to change that. There shouldn't be that kind of fund out there to do it. You know, go through the system like anybody else. You're no special or different than any other citizen out there. and you should not be protected from doing these things, whether it be the abuse or bullying of staff members, whether it be getting jobs for people. That's not right. As I've always told, even in my private business and with the city hall, can you get me a job with the city of Mills? I said, I can tell, you could put me as a reference if you wished. I'll tell the department head, but you're on your own. In a private business, somebody said, can you get me in the warehouse? I want to work in my old business. I said, you got to go to the warehouse manager that's doing the hiring and HR and go through the interview process, just like anybody else. And if you can make it through there, go for it. But we're not pulling any strings or doing it. And that's the type of things that should be happening in Springfield. They shouldn't be any different than anybody else, have any more authority than anybody else.
Mayor, I have time for one more question. I got about 2 minutes here, but as I do with all guests who are running for office, just want to give you a couple minutes to make, say, in courtroom language, your final argument, your final statement to the jury out there, the voters. Why should they vote for you? You got a couple minutes here.
Well, the one big reason is because I listen. I've been knocking on a lot of doors here lately and talking to people, talking to the staff of the city, running the business, talking to business owners, and listening to what they have to say and trying to take that to Springfield. Not just forget about everybody once I'm elected and say, I'm going to do what the party wants me to do or a special interest wants me to do. It's what the constituents want to do, and I've been listening. And I guess some people say, well, all politicians say that. Well, I've proven it. We were Teamsters. We had Teamsters in my old business, and we listened and worked together. And I have some of those people that are backing me, endorsing me, saying, when he's talked about listening and working together, he meant it. A handshake meant something. When he said he was going to do it, he did it. He held our feet to the fire. And so that's what I guess I believe in and why people should vote for me, along with the depth of experience I have. You got business, private business experience, growing a large business and seeing it prosper. I've got municipality experience and seeing what happens with the cities. And then I've got a lot of experience working with different social agencies like Junior Achievement or the YMCA, Have Life, a number of them, and seeing that side of it, that we need to continue to work with the mentally ills. There's a problem there, and we need to emphasize that and work with that more. And so those are the kind of things. I got that broad depth, not just one industry, not just municipality. I haven't been a politician all my life. You see some of these that most of their life, they're a politician. And they don't have that depth of understanding of what it takes to run a business, to hire people, to fire people, and lay people off because of the economy. And so I've been there, done that. And so I really feel that I can speak for the average American going to Springfield and having their voice. So I really believe that we can make a difference. And also, I got to say, the others, we got to work on balancing the Republicans versus Democrats. They have supermajority. I think another issue is we need to balance that and get rid of supermajority so there is conversation back and forth. Right now, the Republicans have no voice whatsoever. And we need to balance that. So that's what the system was designed to do.
Rock Island Mayor Mike Tomes, who is a candidate for the 36th State Senate District in Illinois, has been our guest today on Heartland Politics. Mayor, thank you. I know you're really busy right now, and I really appreciate you taking the time to be our guest.
My pleasure. Anytime.
Thank you.
You bet. Thank you very much. Have a great day.
You too.